welcome to Good Evening, the Alfred Hitchcock Podcast. I'm your host, Brandon Shea Mutella, and joining me, as always, is my ever-constant co-hosts, Chris Haig and Tom Caldwell. Tom, how are you doing today?
I'm good. I quite enjoyed this episode, I guess you could say, because it's a thriller.
I knew it was coming, and I still laughed.
I got that out of my system now. I'm good. I'm doing very well. I'm looking forward to this. I'm enjoying these television-related episodes we're doing.
I just want Tom to keep singing.
Because it's a thriller. Thriller night.
See how many...
Darkness falls.
Yeah, see how many you can put in the, while we're talking. If you're there like, well, he sets the stage as darkness falls across the land.
You know, he's not like other guys. Anyway.
I mean, I'm all the better for that thriller joke. I'm okay. Oh God, God, I love Vincent Price.
You've been sticking with your pottery hobby.
I mean, people have been shorthand to assist me, as it were, and not in the ghost style way. But I've been keeping up with it.
Well, tonight we are discussing the Alfred Hitchcock Presents episode The Perfect Crime, which originally aired on the 20th of October, 1957, as a part of the third season of Alfred Hitchcock Presents. And a quick synopsis from the Hitchcock Zone. An arrogant detective, Charles Courtney, prides himself on never having committed a single mistake in his long and distinguished career. He keeps a shelf of labeled mementos from each of his cases. On the shelf, there's an open space and a blank tag for what Courtney calls the perfect crime. One day, a defense lawyer stuns Courtney when he confronts him with evidence that the detective helped convict an innocent man who has since been executed. Courtney kills the lawyer, bakes him into a pottery kiln, and places the vase in the open space on his shelf as a memento to his perfect crime. Excellent. Tom, let's jump to you first, because you said you really loved this episode. Let's talk about it.
Again, a lot of these episodes that you've assigned us for our wonderful podcast here, these are first-time watches for me, which is cool, right? Because you get to totally just absorb everything fresh. And when I saw Vincent Price come on camera, oh my God, that is so cool. It's Vincent Price in a smoking jacket with a scarf, and what has he got, like, cognac and a cigar, and he's in a library. Like, this is epic. I just love seeing that. And again, like, it the entire episode is Vincent Price and a conversation with him and this Gregory, the defense mm-hmm. attorney. And it's a wonderful battle of wits, man versus man, and ego versus ego. And that's a real bonus for me, like a really cool surprise to have Vincent Price show up on my TV screen like that.
I adore this episode. I had so much fun watching it. Like Tom said, it's pretty much a two-hander, really, between the characters of Courtney and Gregory, but it's so much fun. It's so... The way how can I describe it? It's quintessential Hitchcock in the sense of there's two characters and they're battling it out, but it's words and it's logic and it's just being really smart and cutting. And, you know, Vincent Price he's Vincent Price. I love Vincent Price. I think he's fantastic. So yeah, I adored this episode and kind of the conceit of this, you know, this super arrogant detective who was like, oh, well, there's never been a case that's fooled me before. You know, I've always got the right thing and I've always got the right man. And then this lawyer shows up and he goes, oh, no, 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 no. You have royally messed up here. And then, you know, it's all in Courtney's study, apart from these flashbacks that show Gregory and, you know, this innocent man who's gone to prison and has, you know, been executed for a crime he didn't commit. And I really enjoyed the entire conceit of this episode, because you get to see Vincent Price sort of slowly start to unravel throughout the episode as soon as he and Gregory start talking, because all the way at the end, it just culminates in this, when I say brilliant act of violence, I'm not condoning violence, but the way that it's carried out and the way that the body is disposed of is brilliant, and I never would have thought of this. So I'm like, oh, fair play. I'm impressed. I'm like, no, genuinely, I've been like, do you know, I'd never have thought of that. What a cool way to get rid of a body. So, yeah, I adore this. One thing I also really love, and I had to make a note of this so I wouldn't forget, and he does them for every episode, but I really thought the intro and the outro of, with Hitchcock doing the little kind of lead-in and kind of the fade-out of the episode, I thought he was really funny. There's something about the comedy he pulled off at the end of this episode that really, truly made me chuckle.
Well, I'm the naysayer on this one here. I didn't really like this one too much. This one was a bit lower on my rankings for me. And I think part of the reason is, you know, the end and the turnaround twist at the end there. But even still, like, it felt weird that, you know, Vincent Price's character, like, never makes a mistake, and this other guy is here to prove that he did make a mistake. And it's like, well, why didn't he bring this up any earlier? You know, it just felt very contrived. Like, the whole story kind of felt contrived to me. The acting was good, and it was well written when they were having their dialogue. But just that idea of him coming back after, when he was a family friend of this woman, right, seemed weird. And then at the end, when he's like, oh, it's 2 years later, and 2 years ago, I guess you baked this guy into a pot. It's like this, it just kind of came out of nowhere, because they didn't talk about that before, right? It was just, oh, by the way, I like to make pottery, and I baked this guy into a pot, and everything's just fine. You know, so to me, it just, it wrapped up too quickly, and it didn't seem earned, the ending to me, the twist ending to me didn't seem too earned. So that's kind of my problems with the episode.
For me, the ending saved the episode for me, because I was getting a little drowsy halfway through, and it was all just chitter chatter about legalese. And when when Gregory came out with his blackmail offer, where he basically said, don't convict any of my clients, I won't expose your mistake. Like, that was a professional blackmail at its finest. And so, yeah, the ending was a little bit B-movie, cheesy. Suddenly I've got a pottery studio, and I think he would have incinerated, like, cremated the corpse and then blended it into the clay or something. Mm-hmm. But to me, that was a fun B-movie sort of horror film campy ending that just fit very well with Vincent Price, as far as I was concerned.
It's all a bit,
but I didn't love the,
well done,
sorry, I didn't go gaga over the entire episode, but I loved the ending a lot more than I did the rest of it.
The ending is, it's sort of camp in a way. It's that sort of House of Wax 60s movie. I mean, it's like, because I've been reading a lot of the old 50s horror comics recently, like the Tales from the Crypt sort of thing, and it's something that could have come right out of that, which is, you know, oh, and his body was found and he was baked into a kiln, and you know Tom's exactly right. It's that thing where, oh, Vincent Price, it's kind of archness and it's horror and it's high camp, and I've heard him do radio versions of kind of these similar sort of plays before, and he leans so into that, and there's no way he can't. That's who Vincent Price is. So I understand the criticism of it, I understand the critique, but for me, it really elevated it from being, oh, this is like, you know, it's gone from witness for the prosecution into somewhere a bit darker and a bit cooler for me. And, you know, it would have been nice if they'd set up the pottery thing a little bit more, because they do show you the shelves and they do show you the, oh, there's the space there for, you know, a trophy for the perfect crime and all that sort of thing. So it is set up a little bit, but the actual whole pottery thing, if they dropped a couple of hints in, it would have been a bit better. But I wasn't dissatisfied at all with the way it played out.
Mm-hmm. I mean, Vincent Price did good. Like, Vincent Price is always a good actor. Like, the way that he speaks is very, you know, very elegant, and he's got a very elegant tone to his voice, and he always sounds wonderful when he's talking, and he always gets wonderful roles, and it's always a joy to see him on screen. So it's not an issue that I had with the acting or anything like that. I thought the two of them did a good job for basically a two-person performance, right? Back and forth was really nice. Yeah. So
he has that kind of Christopher Lee energy to me, which is very elegant, very kind of put together and dark and all that sort of thing. But even when he's in a bad film, never gives a bad performance. So, like, when he's in, like, you know, a kind of crappy horror film, oh, you know, the film might be terrible, but he knows what film he's in, and he's still going to, like, you know, give it all the dramaticness or the camp or the evil or, you know, whatever. So, yeah, I mean, you know, even if you dislike the plot, I think you can't really kind of critique the performances, really.
I kind of thinking a bit about what Chris had said, too, where if they'd introduced the pottery thing, like, even in the first minute, he could have just walked out of his pottery studio into the library and just we have some kind of sense that he has a home pottery studio.
Yeah.
It would have been kind of, yeah, you're right. It did kind of come as a bit of a convenient explanation in the last few minutes that suddenly he's got a pottery studio. Yeah. But, again, you know, these are quick episodes. They have to get through a lot of story. They don't necessarily have time to dwell on doing everything that they might have wanted to do otherwise. But no, I this was definitely a highlight for me. And the Vincent Price thing is huge. That really made it work for me.
Nice. Right on. Yeah, Vincent Price, I've loved him ever since the first time I saw a film with him. The first movie I ever saw him in was The Fly, right? Which I just love that movie so much, and I think he's great in it. So awesome. Chris, anything else you want to add to the discussion?
I suppose the other thing I've really got to add is, and it was while we were talking, I've realized what the plot reminds me of is it's a bit Agatha Christie-ish, but not like good Agatha Christie, because there was plenty of short stories she did where it would be set up like this, and it'd be like, oh, an innocent man and payback and revenge and that sort of thing, but it gets resolved either a bit too quickly or there's a contrivance to it. So again, I really didn't mind for the sake of this, because it's a short 22 minutes. If it had been a full length thing, I think I would have picked it a bit more and it would have lowered my enjoyment of the episode. But to be honest, I enjoyed the theme and the vibes and the performance and that last twist and kind of how Hitchcock opened and closed the episode for me. So yeah, I just thoroughly enjoyed this.
Mm-hmm. What would you give it for a rating?
I would give it 5 out of 5 mysterious bulls that are sitting in priding place on some very nice shelves.
Mm-hmm. Tom, what would you give this?
I'll give it a 5 out of 5 really tiny handguns.
Wow. Yes. Jeez, you guys really love this one. I'm coming in at this one here. I'm going to give this 3 convenient plot twists out of 5.
Oh.
So, yeah, I just thought this one was just average for me. So, but that's great. It's nice when we get a nice differential between us. So,
Michael Jackson's dancing zombies are going to haunt you on that one, buddy.
Uh-oh. That's okay. Awesome. Well, we've got one more of these for you this month. So, I hope you're hungry. Because next time, we've got a nice serving of lamb to the slaughter for you.
Yeah.
But until then, good evening.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Good evening.